I want to welcome to the stage the Reverend Melanie Marchell. Melanie, as many of you know, is a local campus minister with Asian American Christian Fellowship, campus ministry of GEMS. And she's been in the pulpit before, but she will be bringing the sermon this morning in the next installment of our Modern Marvel series. So would you welcome Melanie?
Thank you, Evergreen family, for once again allowing me to bring a message for God and God's people. When I heard that the staff was considering Marvel series, I jumped and I said, could I? I'm grateful for this series because as many who have gone before have reminded us that we can see a connection, almost an alerting of how culture influences our spiritual development. Let me read today's scripture passage for you. Exodus 28 through 11. I'm reading from the New International Version. Remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to gather this Sunday to be encouraged to escape the week and to enjoy rest. Thank you for allowing this message to be able to come off the page through my mouth and bless those who hear it. For your purposes and sake, Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm so excited. I was on the edge of my seat yesterday watching the San Diego Comic-Con updates because I cannot be there. I'm prepping for this message, but I was really excited. And I think back or hearken back to my first Marvel movie in the theater, Avengers in 2012, the fifth movie of the MCU. I had briefly seen clips of DVD versions, two Iron Mans, one Hulk, one Thor, one Captain America, but the ratings didn't draw me to the theater. Fast forward to 2018, the Black Panther. The action, the stories, the thrill. You can go back a slide, because it'll set up what we're talking about. Anyways, who would have known that these movies would have created a great physical following and comic book mania and all these things, Comic-Con. I have a friend who is a photographer in the Pacific Northwest. I know my cousins have always been fans, but it makes me hearken back to those childhood days in Fresno when it's just way too hot to do anything but to escape. And my cousins had this vault of comic books, and we would sit there in this air-conditioned kind of vault with our gloved hands for the popular and saved editions, and then we would just enjoy and be enveloped in all of these things. And when Pastor Jason sent me the script for what the pastoral staff planned to do and what would possibly be for me, I froze. Froze like Black Panther, but I really froze. I almost said no thank you. And it wasn't because I couldn't relate. No, it wasn't because Black Widow is somebody that I couldn't relate to. You know I wear black. I wear black all the time. But personally, it touched a chord to something I struggle with and needed framing of God's presence and victory in my own life, the need to escape from work. So let me pause and let me introduce to you through the MCU, Black Widow, Avenger team member and only female. And the topic of escape through work. Black Widow's past, I'm gonna read this to you because I don't wanna miss anything because it's what Scarlett Johansson introduced herself. But Black Widow's past is something that has haunted her as something she deeply regrets. In order to escape her past, she plunges herself deep into her work. All she knows is how to be a spy or an assassin. Some of us find ourselves mirroring this hero's example, immersing ourselves into our work as a way to escape some of the real-life troubles. I think as an Asian American, we also value the ethic of work and sometimes place a high value on people who lose themselves in their work or work long hours. So here's a quote from Scarlett Johansson in an Entertainment Weekly interview. She writes and notes herself as one who has worked overtime, worked hard as an actress, and embodied in her character. Johansson plays Natasha Romanoff, aka Black Widow. In an interview about the character, she says, "From the start, Natasha's appeal. She's a warrior, and what I love so much about the character is that there's no smoke and mirrors. She's a killing machine. In many ways, she was more vicious than the male characters, less likely to make a wisecrack, but when she did, the sting went deep. Over time, she proved herself as a deadly weapon, as a firearm, mastering martial arts, and able to turn any solid object into something that could lay out a roomful of thugs or monsters." Black Widow was introduced by Stan Lee in Marvel Comics in 1964, Tales of Suspense 52. The allure of her as a seductress who brings men to destruction was the original intention for Black Widow. That toughness embodied and covered a past that demonstrates the struggle of a character who was denied a tender life when she lost her mother at an early age and was raised by Russian spy at the time, Ivan Petrovich. Petrovich raised then Natalia Romanova, who was believed to be related to Russian royalty and leadership. Romanova is a feminine version of Romanov. And how do I know that? I took Russian in high school thinking that one day I might be a spy or something that had potential because of the situation of the time. And I think that's one of the things that comics align so closely is that what is going on in comic book lore is often what we ourselves are struggling with today. So as a young female, Natasha at the time then was called Natalia. She was then introduced to a program called the Red Room Academy, which was then allowed young female graduates to become assassins and spies. At that time, she was biotechnically and physically enhanced, providing her with a long and youthful lifespan, but no superpowers. She and Hawkeye are the only two Avengers that don't have secret powers. But to offset that, she has bracelets that include stinging thrusts. She has weapons that are hidden. She also has an arsenal of martial arts ability. And she also can utilize herself to fit in as both a double agent and a spy. We first see in Marvel lore Black Widow in Iron Man 2, where she infiltrates the Tony Stark Industries and tries to destroy him. She then was seen by Nick Fury in SHIELD, which stands for Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division, which is Marvel's spy agency. And with her work with also SHIELD agent Barton, who was Hawkeye, they overcame Hydra. And so as a double agent, Black Widow knows the importance of what it means to be part of her team, but also very strongly invested to come alongside with the team. This is the picture of the original six, right before they were going to fight the Battle of New York City, where Thor, who's on the left-hand side, Thor, Hawkeye, Hulk, Iron Man, Captain America, and then Black Widow's in the middle. They're fighting a war against Loki's brother and the Chitauri army. Moving to the next slide. Of the original six Avengers, Black Widow was the only female superhero. Thankfully now, the superhero world has grown, as well as the representation of women in the MCU. Okoye is on the left, who is the leader of the Women Wakandan Army, the Dora Milaje, and she also represents leadership that includes Shuri, Black Panther's sister, and also Nakia, who is Black Widow's Black Panther's love interest. You also see Peggy Carter, who represents SHIELD, and she also represents, for those of you who are very devastated to hear that SHIELD is in its last series this year on ABC, but she represents Maria Hill and Melinda May, Ming-Na Wen, our Asian American heroine. In the picture in the middle is Gamora from the Guardians of the Galaxy, and she also represents Nebula and Mantis as women heroes of the MCU, and then Black Widow, and then also the latest Avenger that came in Age of Ultron, Wanda Maximoff, another Russian Marvel character. We also see that in the series soon to come in recent times is Valkyrie from the Thor series and the girl power arrival of Captain Marvel, who saved the day in Infinity War and the Endgame. I'm not giving any spoilers for Endgame, so you'll have to see that. It is coming out in August, so go either buy a copy and catch on, because I'm not going to allude to Black Widow from that context, but you'll learn a lot more if you go see it. So no spoilers. And also, there's a Black Widow movie coming out in May 2020. So you could tell I'm a little bit beyond knowledge. I'm a little fanatic. So I'm kind of resting in the presence of the theme today and not getting all excited and bouncing around the stage. But when I first saw this movie, as you go to the next steps, I didn't know that there were end clips. And so this next clip was from the Marvel movie, and what do you see here? We see a team who has worked really hard together. The team humored Tony Stark, if you go see the movie, and he had, when he was being picked up off the ground and Captain America was talking to him over on top of him, he mentioned, after a long, hard day, instead of for people who, like me, would say, oh, let's go to Disneyland, they went to eat shawarma. And when you think about it, when you need to escape from work, oftentimes we don't escape and we think about ourselves being by ourselves, but this motley crew got together and they ate shawarma together. And so in times of escape, do we escape to our team? Do we escape and think about what we've done together? Actually, if you go to the scene at the end of the movie, they're just sitting there eating. And Thor said, the Chris Hemsworth character said he had to eat about 10 of those before they finished the scene. So if you want to, and I suggest this for the next TTT on the West Side, it is called the Shalom Grill, or formerly known as Elat Burger, in the Pico Robertson, LA area. But why does this picture strike a chord with me? I think because it reminds us that in the same way that we struggle with our struggles, if we struggle with the ability and escaping from work, sometimes we need to lean on our team. I think Black Widow can also be seen as a heroine for many of us, because not only was she portrayed as the unofficial leader of the Avengers, but she also carried her past and worked well with it off screen, or so we think. So that's the little plug for the May 20 Black Widow movie that is now in works. But what can we learn from Black Widow today? What, as people of faith, and what can we think about? We think about the way that she overcame her past, and she talks about that. There's always little clips of, this is my past. This is what I was not about. This is what happened. But we could see how she overcame that in her friendships and her ties to people. She was saved by Captain America and was befriended and trained by Hawkeye to create close friendships and teamwork. And these loyalties are seen in her support of them. I know and treasure the value of loyalty to my God, my friends, and my family. And we see that as an important key to help us escape from work. When we work well with our coworkers and we have good support systems, then we could take vacations and know someone is going to take care of our desk, things are going to get done, and we are able to work well. I think as we address the difficulty of work today, I'm thankful for the rest that was the focus as we began today, because sometimes without the rest, we are not our best. And so one of the dark secrets is I struggle a little bit with workaholicism. And so what I wanted to do is to share a helpful scale, the Bergen Work Addiction Scale, as a reference point that can give you an opportunity to find maybe this is an escape from work that you need. There are 7 points. And as you read them, here's the bad news. If you reacted to four of the following with often or always, you might have workaholic tendencies. And if so, like me, you can identify them and ask for help. I think more for me, it is not workaholism. I struggle more with working long hours because I struggle with feeling like I'm not perfect or I have to do the work perfectly because some of my other expectations come from people I've worked for that want perfection. Technology today, as Nancy Rothbard's article in the Harvard Business Review in 2017 notes, that there's a big difference between workaholism and working long hours. Technology today thrusts us into our work situation because our computers are right there. Our phones are right here in my pocket. I hear somebody got a message. We know that. And working long hours, even though it is a sign, it is not always the disease or the workaholic or the title that we fall into. I do not like titles. And so I don't want to be labeled, but I know the tendencies. And so God invites us to a work-life balance. And I'm learning more how not to let these things frame me, but to free me. And so as we even have been talking about this past year about TTT and the importance of being in our jobs, the Bible mandates a different lifestyle to offset even our feelings of embarrassment, loss, or failure when we work too hard or when we try to escape. But we seek the Lord and we find rest and recovery in the ways that God provides. And I'm thankful that. The Exodus passage, the Bible itself, is a reminder to us of whose we are and whose we belong to. And whether it be from the Exodus mandate to be reminded that sometimes we just need to be in God's presence to give rest, to release, we also need to be aware of what is around us. So I share with you a few things that are very helpful to me to be reminded by. One thing I was reminded by, and especially from the shawarma picture, is that when we work with a purpose, when we work with a job, we are aligned with a company. We are aligned to doing a task, and our effectiveness, no matter how well we do it, affects somebody else. We have a job, it's a company. Unless we're self-employed and unless we're working by ourselves, many of us work in a job that requires connection and direction and response and follow-up with those that we work with. That is the thing and the importance about us as being Christians. We need to go back to God. We need to go and check in regularly so that we aren't workaholics, that we are not workers in a vacuum, but we realize that we need to rest and align ourselves to the things God would have for us. And this is the part of the transformation we get to see in Black Widow. Though she realizes that her former days were using her assets and her abilities to be an assassin, to be a spy, to work for SHIELD, she now aligns with a team that she needs them as much as they need her. I'm going to share a clip with you that shows that transformation beginning. It's from the movie Captain America: Civil War, and how what has happened, kind of to set this up, is the challenge comes to the team. General Ross, who is one of the leaders, has created this agreement, the Sokovia Agreement, with superheroes being limited of what they can do, and it splits the Avengers. Captain America: Civil War shows the realization that Natasha, Nat as she's called, is working to do the work of fighting in community, and to be, or in order to be the salvation for that the Avengers do, she began to do that for her team. And though she struck an alliance with Tony Stark, she knew the importance of not destroying the team and working to bring the team back. So the clip.
Sorry. when I came out of the ice, thought everyone I had known was gone. When I found out she was alive, I was just lucky to have her.
She had you back, too.
Who else signed?
Tony, Rhodey, Vision.
Clint?
Says he's retired.
Wanda?
TBD. I'm off to Vienna for the signing of the accords. There's plenty of room on the jet. Just because it's the path of least resistance doesn't mean it's the wrong path. Staying together is more important than how we stay together.
What are we giving up to do it? I'm sorry, Ned. I can't sign it.
I know.
Well, then what are you doing here?
I didn't want you to be alone.
She didn't want Cap to be alone. And so even though she didn't agree with him, she was there for him. She went back to her team. And I think with my own workaholic escape tendencies, when I'm not feeling about my work being good or productive, my response is to then go back into work that others don't always see. But if we are to live the modern Marvel mandate, we need to consider the Micah mandate in Micah 6:8. Very popular, very common for us to think about, but not to take seriously at times or to be reminded by what the importance is. And that reminds us that in a superhero kind of way, we are to seek justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. And sometimes it takes humility to know that we have issues and that resting with God sometimes allows us to realize what he wants for us, and that he loves us, and that he intends for us. And so to strive to keep these ideals are something that we want to be looking out for us, to have somebody else sometimes look out for us like Nat was to Cap. And in our demanding work days, we need the ability to make quick and accurate decisions, but oftentimes it means longer work hours. And that was it for me. But then, what is rest? And rest, then, is the ability to disconnect and walk away from work that is challenging or hard or we can't do it or we can't understand it. What happens to you when you walk to the bathroom or take a lunch and miss a call? Does it mean disaster? Does it mean loss? No, that's just your mind. You can make it up, and God will help you. Spending time with family, getting exercise instead of working, is a tension everybody lives with. Even if you are serving your family, caregiving, helping, that is all an aspect of work. And sometimes, in parenting today, it's a full-time job that sometimes we don't find people to bail us out. But one answer, beloved, comes from our community and how we live together. And I think of this was really timely for me, is a challenge in that rest to know and hear, cling to your community. And so in the same way we began this time with a reminder of the importance that God rested on the seventh day, we also look to a very timely example in Exodus 18:7-26. And let me set this up. Moses, as a leader of the Israelites, was working very hard. He was working to take care of the people in the same way he was a leader that had to deal with battles, had to deal with people, had to deal with responsibility. And in the same way that the Avengers defeated Loki in the Chitauri invasion, the Israelites, under Moses' leadership at this time, had defeated the Amalekites. And after the hard battle, who would come visit but Moses' father-in-law, Jethro? So he picked this up, and you could read along with me, Exodus, beginning in verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What are you doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will not only wear themselves out, the work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you." And he goes on to tell them what that looks like. Verse 22 says, "Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Wow. An answer right there in his community, from his family, from somebody that loved him and knew and watched what he was doing. Verse 24 finishes off. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for people at all times, and the difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. And so that's the reminder, beloved. Go to your communities. Go to the people around you. Employ them to be the things that you can do, but also that they could give you rest. Someone that badly was needed for Moses was Jethro, who came and visited him, but also was able to speak into his life. And even though a good worker gives 100%, 110%, and enjoys and is excited about their work, you can still have workaholic tendencies. But if you can disconnect, take time to rest, you can find ways of other life-giving options and even share the load and be enabled to find good things can happen. As we close today, I want to close with a clip from Civil War. A changed Black Widow tells that to Captain America, that she doesn't want him to be alone, is what we saw earlier. But as the movie comes to an end, this clip shows that she didn't want Cap to leave. She knew the greater good and needed the team to come back together. So let's look at what happens.
All right, now I'm pissed.
Is this part of the plan?
Well, my plan was go easy on him. You want to switch it up?
There's a ride.
Captain Rogers, I know you believe what you're doing is right, but for the collective good, you must surrender now.
What do we do, Cap?
We fight.
This is gonna end well.
They're not stopping.
Neither are we.
Pulling your punches.
So
not gonna stop.
You know I can't.
I'm gonna regret this.
Go.
Black Widow learned to look out for her team, and there was one other clip at the end, but it was to show us that also she understood to then recapture her double agent mindset, but for good. She looked out for her team, she kept the team together despite the differences, and she invested in the workers, not to get too caught up in their work, but to get to come back to each other. God still knows who we are, but he also knows that we need him. He also knows who we are to our teams and honors our commitment and devotion to be able to serve together. As part of this community, I trust that you know who our leader is and that you would follow. But to be able to hear the times when being called out or being addressed needs to happen. I think the thing that really speaks to me is sometimes we can get caught up in the things that we were in our past. But how we let the past shape us into the future is the things that we rely on God and our community to do so. As followers of Jesus, once we were alone, but now we are members of the body of Christ. We can come together to encourage and fight for the good of others. When we are rested and present to God's ways, to be his best for us, in the words of Captain America, we assemble. So let's pray. Evergreen is a place that we can be God. To be home, to be comfortable with ourselves, but then to be sent out to do the work that you would have for us. God, I thank you that you enable us to find the rest, to be able to escape from our work situations, the things that we hide, the things that we struggle with. But God, you know the value of rest for us. And so thanks for creating Sabbath and for us to do it. May we actually begin making time to breathe in life-giving reminders that speak to us when we cannot do it for ourselves. Holy Spirit, continue to work in us for God's purposes. Enable us to be drawn back to our communities, to see and bring life to each other in Jesus. For it is his name we pray. Amen.